Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Ringside Chaos, the most professional and sophisticated and passionate pro wrestling podcast in the world today. I am the Bear of Texas, and let's welcome back one half of the Great Girth Podcast, Tony Trujillo himself. Brother, it's good to have you back.
Thanks, man, for having me back. Feels like I just saw you last night.
Well, technically you did, because I was on the Great Girth Podcast. And much like the Great Girth Podcast, if you listen to this show, if you're easily offended because of the way we speak wrestling, well, here's the deal. Piss off. Or you want better yet, just suck it up. Especially today.
Seriously, grow the
fuck up. We're specifically talking about AEW, and we're not going to do what most people like to do, and that's bury the hell out of the show. Especially.
No, I came prepared to praise this show.
Me too. And I don't care what everybody's going to say. I mean, the fact is, we've been on the show. We want pro wrestling to prosper. And at the end of the day, I will say this. We'll send Tony and I straight to hell because we're grateful that professional wrestling is giving us a whole lot more than we could ever ask for. And blood and guts, my God, that match, incredible. Incredible, man. Especially the finish.
Tell me you saw that meme I sent you and you fell in love with it because, dude...
Yeah, because we all know that Corny, I mean, I'm pretty sure you already did. I'm pretty sure Corny did what he does best. He shat all over it. I mean, that's what he loves to do with AEW.
Oh, yeah,
he likes to crap all over AEW. But then again, he's got to feed that cult of his, you know, that socialist cult.
Yeah, bro, that's one reason I don't take him serious, man. That's kind of why, like, anytime you and I have talked about him, but I'm like, I don't care what he says, what he does. I view him as a fucking terrorist, but I still like to hear him yap. I wanted to hear him shit on this, bro, because, you know, that meme, again, it's correct. Cries and motherfucker, dude, like...
Nah.
But... Anyway,
seriously, at this point, how can I take Jim Cornette seriously because all he does is shit all over wrestling? I mean, everyone says, well, it makes sense.
Bingo.
He's stuck in the old 80s, old school style. I mean, look, I'll never discredit the man for everything he's accomplished in wrestling, but still, how can I take him seriously? How can we take him seriously if all he does is crap all over pro wrestling? But again, it seems that his cult, they enjoy it. So some would say that the only thing that keeps his podcast good is him shitting all over pro wrestling, specifically AEW. But enough of that. I'm glad we got that negative crap out of the way. But I got to tell you, aside from the blood and guts match, which we'll get to, I think Maxwell Jacob Freeman's segment was pretty interesting as well.
Yeah, I mean, dude, it was a really good fucking show all around. I only had like maybe one complaint, but all around, dude, it was fucking, I won't say phenomenal. That match was phenomenal. I wanted to, I know we're not quite talking about that match yet, but bro, I wanted to see someone get lit on fire just because I was pumped. I was ready for it. I was like, yes, dude.
Oh, boy. All right, one second. But, you know, but
I'm looking at
the match, when I talk about, you know, Maxwell Jacob Friedman, who, of course, is now the American champion, well, you know, at the same time, it's not a coincidence that he does this because, let's not forget, when Will Ospreay was with New Japan, when he changed the IWGP U.S. title to the U.K. title, well, Maxwell Jacob Friedman, being the creative genius heel that he is, takes a page out of somebody else's book.
That's how do you feel about that? How do you feel about them giving him that title, though?
Well, I knew
do you think it's one way or early? The
other, another belt would find itself towards him. I just didn't think it would be so quickly. Do I? Obviously, I predict that he's gonna be put back in the main event picture for the world title. Obviously, but they got to build the guy. Because, you know, he lost the title to Samoa Joe. He disappeared for about at least 6 months because, you know, the injuries and because he had been, you know, very active, you know, since the beginning of the AEW. So MJF was long overdue for a break. I'm glad he got it because I knew that he would come back better than ever. I mean, he does look better than ever. Not just wrestling wise, Mike's skills, his how good in shape he is. MJF is just better than he was a year ago. And I think he's only going to get better.
Right, I love MJF. I meant more like, because I know you're a big Will Ospreay fan, and I am too. Do you think it was like a little too soon to be taking it from that person? Because I agree with you in the sense that MJF was eventually going to get that. That's why I'm not like tripping about it. I think it just sucks because it's a... I'm going to say it, bro. It's not the world title, obviously. But for MJF, like, that makes total sense that they were going to make him a champion. I just thought it was weird that they had that on Ospreay, and he only had it for, like, a small amount of time, if you ask me. And they stripped him of it, like, soon. I just was kind of like, that's bizarre. But in a way, it makes sense because you got to remember Ospreay's a UK individual, so his time is going to be limited. I mean, he's still going to be there, but he wanted to be with his family, so
yeah, that's why he didn't
didn't want to relive. Right, like I don't.
Yeah,
I don't see him holding that belt for that long for that reason. I just thought it was, I don't know. It just felt weird, but I gotta say, the ending to that match. I know we're not talking about that match, but is something else.
Not yet, but well, as far as Will Ospreay goes, what I'm really, really concerned about is the fact that he recently unsuccessfully challenged Swerve for the world title and lost, because I felt sure that Will Ospreay would become champion at All in London. But right now, yeah, he's going to challenge MJF for the title again, and now I'm even increasingly concerned that he's going to lose, and this time lose in front of his, you know, in front of the home crowd. I mean, if he somehow regains the belt at All In, then we all know that very soon MJF is going to regain it again. And that doesn't seem to be the way to go.
A part of me thinks that he's not going to win, or he's not going to lose All In, because exactly what you were saying, I see it as, like, they'd be fools to have Will Ospreay lose in front of his hometown, especially for the belt against MJF. Like, they'd be fools to have MJF win that. And MJF is clearly the villain in this story, right? So, you push up Will Ospreay as, like, the hero. You gotta, it's not an underdog story, but it feels that way in a sense. You got your classic villain mocking America, mocking other countries by being patriotic. You know, you got your typical 80s villain. And then you got your typical 80s superstar that's kind of the underdog in a sense. I don't view Ospreay as an underdog. Let me make that clear. He's on top already. But in this scenario, he's kind of like the underdog chasing the villain. I think what a better way than to have him secure his victory at All In, and unfortunately, because there's a title involved, he takes the title back. It makes sense to me. Why you would do it like that is weird, because I feel you in this sense, bro. They just gave MJF that belt. What other reason would they give it to him? I mean, is it so Ospreay can win it back on the grandest stage of them all? You know, like, it's weird. Why did you do that? But it could be because, like I said, they're going to build up for that big event. I mean, I don't know about you, man, but when Ospreay comes out and jumps on the top rope and is shouting about fucking rematch at All In, the hair on my arm started standing up, dude, because I was just like, this is the perfect. I know it's not going to be the main event, but it would be a perfect main event, dude. It's a match that has all the recipe, dude, for a classic 80s heel versus babyface story. So,
except how ironic,
I want to see it.
The American is heel while the dude from overseas is the good guy. Because back in the 80s, the pro-American dude is the good guy while the foreigner is the heel. So this time the tides are reversed a little bit, which makes it exciting.
I think that they knew what they were doing. Like, I can guarantee you somebody somewhere in that department thought that was a great idea. And a part of me wonders if it was MJF's idea, because dude, you can say what you want about him. He's a genius, man. He knows how to cut promos. He knows how to make people hate him. What better way than to act like the typical patriotic, ignorant fuck than in wrestling, right? Like, who better? So it makes sense. And, like, you know, I'm sure there's people that are going to get their fucking panties in a bunch over it, but I think it's pretty funny, dude.
Yeah.
I think it's funny as fuck. Like, no, I felt the same way a little bit. I was just, like, ironic. But it's fitting, bro. Like, it's pretty fitting because you know how it is, man. America's got an image. And I kind of enjoy when wrestlers take that image and exploit it and make it for their benefit. Like, that's fucking funny, dude, because it does make people hate you even more. Same thing with Jericho, man. I'm not trying to get off topic, but people hate what he's doing. That's what they're supposed to do. Because he's a genius. He's a work, dude. This is clearly a gimmick. He is making you want him to retire. That's part of his gimmick.
Exactly.
The old man that won't go away.
But
that's
honestly
the story.
I'm an idiot for saying this, but here's the deal. I'm not sick of Jericho. I mean, look, Jericho is not the athlete he was back in the day. I mean, the dude's in his mid 50s now. Okay.
Yeah, he's good at cutting promos, but wrestling not so much.
He teaches, he mentors, the other guys, and the match he had with Minoru Suzuki, I would say an average match. Don't surprise me.
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
Retained. Tell you, Minoru Suzuki, right. Man, to see how legitimately tough that guy is. Oh, dude.
The learning tree.
He's older than Jericho and still looks like he could go for at least another 10 years.
Yeah, dude, he's a he's kind of like, god damn, man. I didn't care for him until AEW announced who he was, and I was like, I've never heard of him. I had to go look back at New Japan and all this stuff, and I was like, damn, this dude is old as shit. And he's a brawler, man. He's rough. He takes no fucking mercy. He just doesn't give any mercy, bro. Like, for being an old dude, he's almost like Moxley in that sense, which is where Moxley gets that from. He's said it himself that he's inspired by these older dudes that have that don't give a fuck attitude, and they're literally aggressive. And that's why I like this Minoru, however you say his name. He's interesting, bro, because
known as Murder Grandpa.
Right. I was gonna say, for being an old dude, he can whoop ass.
I don't mean to knock the dude, but yeah, he does give the sense that he's like the grandpa that can beat the hell out of you. Just knock you out with one punch, and he's knocked people out with one punch. I mean, if you should look this up on YouTube, a match he had with Asuka. Oh my god! And the fact is, what he did in the match, Asuka instructed him: "Do not take it easy on me." I mean, look it up. The bumps that Asuka took, and this was before she was in WWE. She produced the match. She produced the entire show. What Minoru Suzuki did to her, she wanted him to do it. She told him, don't take it easy on me. But that shows once again how incredible and how unique, most importantly, how tough female Japanese wrestlers are. Japanese wrestlers, male and female, are unique and one of a kind. That's why one day I hope to go to Japan, to go to New Japan Pro Wrestling Show, along with Pro Wrestling Noah, All Japan. I want to see for myself the unique style that is known as the Japanese Strong Style. It is badass.
No, I do like it. Like, I'm not a fan of New Japan Pro Wrestling, but I like the style, dude. Like, I love going on a lot of these wrestling pages and commenting, like, I'm one of those guys. I love that flippity shit, that flippity floppity, or whatever they like to call it, as if it's an insult, you know? Like, I love that shit, man. I like watching these guys fly all over and just fuck each other up. But I also don't mind seeing two big-ass beefcakes that don't know how to wrestle just brawl. Like, that, I mean, WWE does that very well, dude. I love it, man. Like, you can go back to, like, Hogan and Andre, dude. That's a good match. It still is, bro. It's iconic. But, I mean, you could really pick it apart and be like, these guys just really don't know how to wrestle. But then again, dude, there's a... WWE is a different... It's a different beast, dude. It's, I don't think it's insulting to say that they don't focus on wrestling so much as they do story, because I think that's a good thing. I don't want to get off topic talking about WWE, but, like, I do enjoy that, and WWE is good at presenting that. Whereas AEW is good at presenting that strong style that I do enjoy. I mean... Another one here, Britt Baker and Hikaru Shida, or however you say her name.
Hikaru.
That's a pretty good match, you know.
Another, yeah. Britt Baker, I'm telling you, much like, yeah, unique, one of a kind. You see, you see how amazing the likes of Britt Baker, Thunder Rosa, Toni Storm, Hikaru Shida, Riho, a lot of the of amazing female wrestlers that have worked in AEW, Ring of Honor, WWE, anywhere. You see, ladies and gentlemen, that's why I am a staunch supporter of women's wrestling. Women's wrestling matters, okay? Female wrestlers, they are main events as well. They draw as well.
I've always been, like, guilty of, I hate to say this, but I've always been the guilty guy that has had a hard time with female wrestling. Not to say that it's bad. I think it's just more, I've always felt like it was boring. And then WWE started doing, like, more aggressive stuff with the female division, or women's division, I should say. And I took interest in that. I was like, you know, it's cool to see them, like, actually wrestling and not just being, you know, me.
Not just being the pretty
for kid. Everyone to look at.
Yeah. You see, like, there's
but,
one
yeah, I enjoy that, but,
and I've praised,
you know.
And I've been so badly ridiculed, and that's Anna Jay. I have praised Anna Jay, and I've been ridiculed for it, and I don't give a damn. I don't give a damn that I've been ridiculed. Anna Jay is about to go work in Japan, okay? That says something right there. She's about to take her career to the next level. She's going to learn a lot. She's going to improve a lot. Now, I will say this. Anna Jay is, in fact, the most beautiful Georgia girl I've ever seen, but here's the deal. I don't praise her. I'm not a fan of her simply because she's pretty. I'm a fan of her because I think she's a great worker. Is she the best? No, but guess what? She doesn't need to be. Okay, so at the same time, I'm like, okay, you know, Anna Jay, she's earned her respect, so give her some respect.
I think that Britt Baker is one that I've taken heat for because I've said she's a good wrestler. She's a very good wrestler, and she's a very good promo cutter. I used to not be able to stand her, dude, when she was a heel doing the whole Dr. Britt Baker thing originally, you know? When they first started doing this on TV, I wasn't a fan because she was annoying, but I was like, man, that means she's just doing her job good. She's
exactly
probably a good wrestler, and I should pay attention. And I did, and she is a very good wrestler, to the point that I am very, very interested in this rivalry between her and Mercedes Moné. But
yeah, and Camille, it's, yeah.
It's cool to see. Like, dude, I was out of my seat on fire that night that they were cutting that promo. And Mercedes Moné does her little, like, get in line with everyone else, and fucking Britt Baker just is like, bitch, what line? Like, that was, I felt the fire from that, and I was like, yeah, I can't wait to see this match. Like, that'll be cool, because in a way, it's a dream match. It's not quite what I want. To me, a dream match, dude, for Britt Baker, it would have to be like a Britt Baker and a Becky Lynch, because they're almost similar in that aspect. That would be fucking cool to see, but I think Mercedes Moné is like the closest we're gonna get to that.
Right.
And to be quite honest with you, dude, I don't think she's dropping that belt. I like her. I like Mercedes Moné, but I view her as a Charlotte Flair. I kind of feel like they just give her what she wants because she does put asses in seats. People hate her. I understand that. Like, I get the hate that she gets. I think that some of it is warranted. But at the same time, I do enjoy her. Like, I think she's a good wrestler. I like that she can spin a tail. I love that she knows how to make people hate her and love her. That's a good wrestler. That's why I want to see this match, dude. And I think it'll be interesting what they do it all in with Baker and Moné. But
I mean,
moving on.
Also, as part of the rivalry, I mean, keep in mind Britt Baker, Dr. Britt Baker. She was attacked by Camille, who, of course, she's an AEW newcomer, although she's supposedly been signed for a while now. And she, of course, Camille she's a former NWA Women's Champion. So I like that they're adding a little bit more to it. Like, you know, now I don't expect Britt Baker to win the championship. Now, keep in mind, she said on several occasions she doesn't want to be the Women's World Champion again because, I mean, I think part of me says she feels like she doesn't need the title. I mean, I get it. I would agree with her. She probably doesn't need the belt, but I think as long as she keeps chasing a title and she's like still, you know, she's putting the great matches, cutting the great promos, and that's what Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, has done since she's arrived. I mean, she's done that her entire career. She's going to be okay. You know, and Britt, you know, again, Britt Baker, one of a kind, and she shows just how important, how unique, you know, how women can be in professional wrestling. I mean, you remember that match she had with Thunder Rosa when she bled and they put that in a t-shirt?
Yeah.
I'll be honest, that picture of her bleeding, it's badass.
Of course, we got to talk about the fact that
she took that picture, and then she took that picture when she had a black eye, she put it on Instagram, then they put that on a shirt, and that she actually got heat for it, but she defended her actions. I mean, look, Britt Baker, look, she knows what she's doing, so fans just need to basically let her do her job, all right? She knows what she's doing. She's been doing it for a while. Okay, she's one of the most successful wrestlers. She's helped make AEW put AEW on the map. Okay, much like Anna Jay, give Dr. Britt Baker her respect. She's earned it.
I think we should probably talk about the fact that we did have. Well, we had two squash matches, but we got to talk about this one in particular: the Pack and Boulder.
Oh boy.
Whatever the fuck his name is. That one was it was a boring match, dude, because it's clearly a squash match. It's meant to give Pac momentum, which is fine. I don't mind Pac. I think he's a good wrestler. He just doesn't entertain me as much. But it's because of crap like this, dude. Squash matches. They need to AEW is definitely not free from criticism, and this is one of them for me, is squash like these matches that are that's WWE shit. Don't do that. Another problem is booking, though, dude. Like, because that plays a part in this. Pack and Boulder. Like, do you want to see that? I'm curious what the fucking grade is on this. Let's Bleacher Report this. Hold on.
I actually have it right here. But I'll be honest with you. I don't mind. Okay. Well, okay. You know what the problem is when it comes to these squash matches? You know, if they do it, it shouldn't be on. It should not be on live television.
Yeah.
Actually, it doesn't even
that's
have a
like,
according to this, it doesn't even have a grade. It has it as incomplete.
Yeah, I just pulled it up on Bleacher Report. Same thing. It's incomplete.
That basically said you're solidifying that even Bleacher Report couldn't even give it a grade because it was meaningless. But then again, if it was meaningless, it would have gotten a bad grade, right? But if it doesn't get a grade, then
yeah,
it's worse than bad. If that makes any sense.
It looks like. Looks like it's the same thing with Mariah May because that was also a squash match. But
okay. Before we get to there's one thing after this. Before we get to the main event match, Toni Storm. Look, God knows how many times I've praised her. She's amazing. I do like I've said many times. I do miss her previous gimmick. You know the 80s rock star, but I do love the gimmick that she's the timeless Toni Storm persona. I do like it. It's unique.
Yeah, she's gotten better, I think.
I really love the way she, puts her hand on her chest like that and do that. I mean, you can just tell she's really taken her golden age Hollywood starlet gimmick, and she's really taken it seriously.
Yeah.
It's almost as if she's possessed by spirits of, of actresses from way back then, and that's not even a bad thing. But the way,
Well,
I didn't expect Okay, the way I expect this to happen, I thought Toni Storm would be the one to turn on Mariah May. But instead,
that's what I thought too.
It's the opposite. If Mariah
it worked.
May, if Mariah May wins the title All In, I don't. That would be a mistake because they if she does win the title, then they rushed it. But I understand that she won the tournament, so some would say, well, she won this, she won the tournament, so it makes sense, right?
I think the smartest thing they could do is have her lose it All In, get a rematch it All Out, and then she wins there. Just because Toni Storm is clearly the bigger star. And that's what they're doing, is they're building Mariah May off of her. Like, I should have seen this coming, but I didn't. In fact, I knew who Mariah May was because I used to watch that Women of Wrestling, wherever the fuck she came from.
The
I was watching some of this.
The one in Japan, yeah.
Yeah, and I had seen her, and then I saw her in AEW, and I was like, okay, this will be interesting. Like, what are they going to do with her? And I was kind of just like, this is annoying. She's just following Toni Storm around, but maybe they'll do something with it. And I kind of figured the same thing, that Toni Storm's eventually just going to scrape her off her shoe, and it's going to turn into the underdog chasing the person that they idolize, but it looks like it's different, which is fine, because I actually like surprises. I'm like, you know what? I did not see that coming. The point in which she turns on her is pretty brutal, so, I mean, at least it, like, works. I like it, but I agree with you that, yeah, I think her winning that first match would be kind of dumb, but then again, it might make some pops if they do it at All In. I just think that they'd be smart to let Toni win first. I mean, even if it's got to be like a best 2 out of 3, or like even carrying on the 4 matches, what if Toni Storm and her have like 2-3 matches back to back and they keep getting, either it's disqualified or somebody wins by count out, like just keep fucking making it ridiculous until we get that match where it's like no DQ, no outside interference, this is where it counts, and Mariah May comes out victorious. Story's over. But
so, and
we'll
after
see.
That, who knows what they'll do with Toni Storm? I mean, Jamie Hayter, we haven't seen her. Like, what? It's been a year now. So
yeah,
I wonder, like, if, when Jamie Hayter comes back, I mean, does she go back to being aligned with Dr. Britt Baker? Do they do a program where Jamie Hayter teams up with Toni Storm? Now they're both baby faces. Or does Toni Storm go back to working with Thunder Rosa? I mean, who knows what's going to happen? I mean, look, AEW, the women's division in AEW is loaded, but the criticism of the booking for so long has been well documented. But again, people will say I'm obviously mad about it because Alex is a strong supporter of women's wrestling. I mean, yeah, I am. But when you have a loaded roster for women's wrestling in the women's division for AEW, you got to use it.
I have a theory about what they're going to do with All In. I've got this feeling that we're not going to see a lot of buildup with Toni Storm and Mariah May until then. Like, maybe like we'll get a segment here and there, but I got a feeling they're going to keep it hush-hush and kind of quiet, because I almost wonder if Toni Storm is going to debut her OG character, her Rockers character, and just kind of phase out the whole timeless Toni Storm, and then clearly make her a babyface, in which Mariah May is obviously the heel. That's my theory. I think that she's going to dump the whole timeless Toni Storm thing and go back to her old gimmick.
I'm the first one to say that, actually, because some believe that the timeless Toni Storm character as a babyface does not work.
Right, that's what I mean. I'm like, it's too much of a heel. It would be the best way to close out that chapter.
But then again, Goldust, we never thought that Goldust as a face would work way back then, and it did. But then again, what some would say, it's just WWE couldn't do it. You know, WWE had to, like, basically, whatever. I mean, the criticism of you know, the criticism toward Vince and his creative and whatnot. But, I mean, we'll see.
It's a chance to give her the ability to bring that gimmick back and end the one she's on. Like, it works perfectly in WWE. Like, here's a good example that's more recent. Edge, even though he didn't continue this gimmick, Edge was able to pull out all the stops at WrestleMania by bringing back his OG Brood character against Finn Balor.
Right.
That's why I think this would be perfect to do it. She brings back her OG original, the character she came in as, so that she can close out the other gimmick, be a babyface as this character, and we get that back. Like, WWE does that a lot. I remember they did that with Bray Wyatt at one point. Like, he was, instead of the Fiend this night, he's going to be the Funhouse guy. And, like, it's kind of cool to see them switch up gimmicks like that, especially for opponents such as this. Like, what if they did do a match where Mariah May is victorious and Toni Storm realizes timeless needs to go away, I gotta bring out someone that Mariah May has no chance against, I'm back. You know, like, I think that would be cool to see. That's a theory of mine, but we'll see, because I'm not all that interested in this feud. I am, just because Toni Storm has gotten interesting. I used to think she was dumb, dude. I'm not going to lie. I never really cared for her. And then the Timeless thing kind of annoyed me, but as I've paid attention more, she's gotten better at telling a story, so it has my interest a little bit.
See, I'm not the opposite. I've always loved Toni Storm. Even when she was in Japan before WWE, I've always loved Toni Storm. I've loved her wrestling ability. I've loved, you know, again, the rock star character. I mean, I've loved Toni for a long time. That's what I'm trying to say. but before we get to the blood and guts, well, obviously on a personal note, recently at the AEW Battle of the Belts, Dustin Rhodes and the Ross and Marshall Von Erich beat the Undisputed Kingdom to win the vacant Ring of Honor World 6-Man Tag Team Championship. So obviously, me being from Texas and Texas being Von Erich Nation, I'm obviously very, very happy. I'll never forget 2 years ago at an MLW event when I saw Ross and Marshall Von Erich main event a match here in Dallas. My God, it was amazing. So seeing Ross and Marshall Von Erich have gold around their waists again, man, it feels good.
Well, we are on to the main event, the match that I was mostly looking forward to. I almost made a split-second decision to not watch this episode of Dynamite, let it record itself, and then skip through shit I didn't want to see just to get to this match. But I was like, no, because I know what's going to happen is I'm going to do that, and then I'm not going to have time to enjoy the pacing. I'm not going to have time to appreciate the match.
Not only that, but you knew. Somehow you knew that I was going to talk to you and say, Tony, we got to talk about this on the show. I mean, I swear, I feel like you were going to ask me, hey, can we talk about this on the show? But somehow I beat you to the punch.
Oh, dude, I just knew it was going to be a big deal because it's already the talk of the town, bro. People that hate AEW, it lives rent-free in their head, bro. I post this meme all the time anytime someone starts fucking with me about it. I'm like, you guys are the ones talking about AEW all the time, not AEW fans. But
again,
of course,
like, as you and I are, we're sick and tired of the whole tribalism. Look, I get it. You don't like AEW, but here's the deal. Be glad that there's a lot of pro wrestling out there. Now, AEW still, there's a lot of work they got to do, because again, the biggest problem is they have the great matches, but the storylines are not always there. Now, right now, I hope before we get, one more thing, how we all know Bryan Danielson is going to challenge Swerve on All In for the title because Bryan Danielson won the Owen Hart, the men's tournament of the Owen Hart Cup. So, I'm going to say this. Obviously, he's not going to win the title. And because Bryan Danielson doesn't need it. He doesn't need to be champion.
No, he doesn't need to be champion, yeah.
And you know what? Bryan Danielson, he doesn't even need to win. Like, as long as he does so good in the match, he's still over. And he puts over Swerve, the love and respect that Bryan Danielson already has, it's only going to go higher. So Bryan Danielson is going to put Swerve over. That's what he does. That's what he enjoys doing. So I know the match is going to be good, but anyway.
I have a feeling that he might win the belt just so they can put on record that he won it, and then Swerve might win it back at All Out. I think it'd be dumb to do that, because I really don't think he's going to win it.
Well, again,
it would be stupid to do that.
Think about it. Does Bryan Danielson really need the title?
No, bro. That's been my...
The question is, it's not does he need the title, but someone asked, say, the question is, does the title need him? Now, if you're asking that question, no, you're crapping on Daniel Bryan, on Bryan Danielson, and that's unacceptable. No, Bryan Danielson does not need the title. He can be in the title picture. I think, because honestly, if you think about it, he's better off chasing it than he is having it. A lot of wrestlers are like that. They're better off chasing the belt than having it, and they feel that way.
I've argued that with CM Punk as well.
More money chasing the belt than having it. Some wrestlers, it's the other way around, but Bryan Danielson is in a position to where he's better off just chasing the title.
Oh, yeah, dude, I've argued that that's the case for guys like Punk, like CM Punk and Edge, a lot of those guys. I'm like, they don't need belts, man. They've already done it all. They don't need a belt to prove why they are as cool as they are. Like, I like the Miz's approach to this. Like, everyone gave him fucking flack for winning the WWE champion the way he did with the help of Lashley and then losing it like a week later or whatever. But I liked his take. He was like, I get where people feel like sorry for me, but I've been there. I've been a star. It's time for me to make stars, though. And I love that approach. He's saying, I don't need a belt to be big, but I want to use my pull to make these younger guys big. And, you know, that's how he could make Swerve big, is if Danielson did that. Just loses and lets Swerve become the hero.
Miz has the same mindset as Bryan Danielson and most veterans. They know where they are in their career. It's time for them to basically make to help the next generation. And because now, yeah, at this point, they're fully solidifying their legacy. So, but yeah, but to close
it'll
it out,
be a good match.
It's going to be a hell of a match, but Swerve Strickland is getting over. And I'm sure the end of the match, the handshake between Danielson and Swerve, it's going to be a moment to remember. But yeah, but going back, I mean, I saw how people were already crapping on this Blood and Guts match. I'm like, oh, for goodness sake. And some of these comments, I swear to God, I needed a freaking barf bag. Look, you're entitled to your opinion, but seriously, some of these things that these people say, like, did you even watch the freaking match? The whole match is on YouTube. And before we did this episode, I did watch the match. I saw highlights on Twitter and everywhere else, and on Instagram too, but I watched the entire match.
Yeah. No, they didn't, bro.
Was the match perfect? No. Does it need to be perfect?
No.
No. Was it entertaining? Yeah, it was. I thought it was.
I said this to you before the last time I was on the show, and probably the time before that, but yeah, I'm going to say it again because it's very prevalent to what we're talking about now. You can tell who grew up watching wrestling and who watches it now. Because a lot of these comments are for people that are in their younger, you know, like in their 20s or their teenagers, and they're bitching about the blood and the safety and all this shit. And some of the older folks are doing it too. Like, this is so unsafe. This is why we don't do this no more. It's funny to me because I'm just like, you guys are why we can't enjoy wrestling. Like, grow the fuck up. If blood scares you away, then go watch WWE. They don't do that much. I mean, they're getting pretty cool about it, if you ask me.
WWE needs to get out of this PG crap. Come on. Pro wrestling should not and never should be PG, rated PG. Come on. Put the blood back in. Put the high heated promos. Put the, you know, the I Quit matches, the hardcore matches, the false count anywhere. Let wrestlers do their own promos. Don't limit them so much. Don't handcuff them. Let the heels be the heels.
Well, did you see like how people were bitching about the chair shot, and it was so bad that they had to release saying it was a fake chair.
If the chair shot's directly to the head or still like that, okay, that I understand because of, you know, of what it's done in wrestling in the past. That I get. And let's be honest, unprotected chair shots. Come on, there's other things we can do than unprotected shots to the head. No, I saw how Jack Perry took it and how he sold it. No, it was real. And I love how, what the chair said, how it says scapegoat on it.
AEW's...
Jack Perry's the one who brought it to the ring, right? It's his chair.
Well, that's what AEW was claiming, though, because people's backlash, they had to go on there and write that it was a fake chair designed for that, and that's why they wrote scapegoat on it, and that's why there was only one chair shot, blah, blah, blah. The fact that they had to go that far was so stupid. I would have just left it alone and went, you guys use your imagination. But people hate when Jack Perry does, like, you know, death-defying shit. Same with Darby Allin. These people are... They shouldn't be watching wrestling, for one, dude. They're so ridiculous.
I mean,
because this used to be a common thing every night.
They don't understand pro wrestling, Tony, but most importantly, they don't want to understand pro wrestling. Everybody hating on Jack, you see, look, I've said this about Jack Perry. I like that we're seeing the villainous part of him. For so long, we saw the uber babyface part of him, you know, when he was Jungle
King. Yeah.
We saw the heroic babyface side of him. We loved it.
Yeah.
And we're going to come to the point where, okay, we've seen enough of the good side of him. Let's see the bad side of him. So Jack Perry is going so far to give us really a unique perspective from his dark side. So at the same time, Jack Perry is really giving us not only what we want, but he's giving us more than we could ask for. In other words, Jack Perry is giving us our money. No, 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 no. He's giving us far more than our money's worth. In other words, Jack Perry is doing all this out of respect, not only for the business, but he's doing this for the fans. He's giving the fans something to look forward to. So honestly, you should, those fans that are complaining about what he's doing, you should thank the guy. You should be grateful. I mean, he, for one thing, he's putting his body and even his life on the line to entertain you. So show the man some respect.
Not to mention, weren't people bitching about him being Jungle Boy and that he wasn't, like, good enough? I was one of them, dude. I was just like, I can't stand him. He's annoying. He's not even interesting. But then he becomes a bad guy, and I'm like, yeah, awesome. Now he's, I like his character. But now, suddenly, people have a problem with it. It's like, yeah, it's, you know, it's typical. But
some
I thought he was the highlight of the match.
Some wrestling fans just cannot be pleased at all. It doesn't matter what you do. They ask for one thing, you do it, they don't like it. It's like, what do I got to do? But
well, yeah, dude, you'll never please everybody, because even with a good match like this, exactly, people are going to find a way to pick it apart. I mean, that's what they do. It's wrestling fans that love to talk about how much they hate AEW, but they talk about it constantly, dude.
I mean, they and hate AEW so why, much they can't shut up about it, right?
Yeah, dude, and they get mad when AEW does good.
Right, and there's some wrestling fans that don't shut up about AEW, but some fans, it's because they appreciate it so much. So there's the good fans that don't shut up about it, and then the bad ones. So
God, yeah, dude, there's some annoying ass AEW fans too.
I mean, the Elite. I mean, you see, I love how the Elite. You know, it's like, you know, almost like the NWO. Like, they're all champions. The Young Bucks are the EVPs, the Executive Vice Presidents. They're the tag team champions. Okada is the AEW Continental Champion. Jack Perry is the TNT Champion. And, you know, you have Team Elite versus Team AEW. It's, you know, it gives us a little Attitude Era vibe, like Stone Cold versus McMahon and his empire.
Yeah.
WCW versus the NWO. Or, you know, Impact, Aces and Eights versus, you know.
That's how I feel about it, dude, because I was not a fan of the whole, you know, executive VPs and all that shit. Like, I wasn't a fan of where they were going with this until most recently with the last few weeks. I'm like, okay, I see what they're doing. They're building a story with the Elite and this whole Team AEW versus the Elite. Like, I like that. I just feel like, yeah, it is a little late. Like, I wish they would have done this earlier, but I think they're doing it now in real time because of the fact that they had to figure out a way how to take all that backlash they got from the Punk scenario and turn it around. And I think this is probably the best way of them showing it was stupid. I thought that didn't really need to be on TV, but whatever. That was the first step into getting where we're at now. So, I mean, I'm definitely enjoying this whole Team Elite taking on all of AEW. And I thought that it was cool that we got to see Adam Page in the mix, because you can clearly see they're indicating that him and Swerve aren't done yet. And I'm happy with that, dude, because I enjoy when those two wrestle. I love watching those matches. I don't care that we're at part 7 by now. I love it. Watch, these two have great chemistry. They make great matches. So, I mean, dude, you'd be dumb not to do something with them in the future. I feel like that's going to be Swerve's next fucking opponent.
I mean, we talk about Hangman Adam Page. I mean, people have been crapping on the guy for so long. I mean,
I don't get why, man. He's an awesome wrestler.
I'm just shaking my head. I'm like, Adam Page, another wrestler, unique and one of a kind.
I won't lie to you, man. This was a weird mix-up, though. Team AEW, Swerve, Briscoe, dude, fucking Darby Allin, and then the Acclaimed. Like, that's a weird mix, man. But it actually worked. I like that it worked out. They clearly had some problems internally. They show you that, but it actually kind of worked out. At first, it was kind of like, eh, when you really look at it, because what we have with Team Elite, it just makes sense. Right. It bleeds Elite. You know, it's just like, okay, it's totally, how else do you make this interesting, though, with Team AEW? Throw the world champion in the mix. Like, it's like you said, it does give off the OG Attitude Era vibes, because what I'm looking at when I see this is we're going to get a Swerve taking on the Boss, which was reminiscent of Steve Austin taking on the Boss. So I'm hoping that's what we're going with this. I like that AEW is making progress with storylines. I like that they're starting to take shit seriously. It's just that the booking is definitely something they got to work on. Build up for sure is something they got to work on, because there was no real build up for this match. few segments here and there, but you know, whatever.
It's not only the storytelling, but it's the booking decisions. I mean, I said this on a number of episodes ago that you were a part of. It may be Tony Khan should probably step away from that position. Now, should he still have a say in it? Yeah, but I think maybe he should bring in the right guys to run the creative to run the creative division.
Yeah, because I used to like him, man. I used to like that he had that.
That's just my opinion, and some people think I'm an idiot for saying that.
No, I agree with you, man. Because I used to be Team Tony Khan because I liked his mindset, which was I was a kid as a fan of wrestling, and I used to play with my wrestlers and do dream matches, and he's like, that's just how I wanted it to be as a kid. And he's like, you know, I get older, and that's kind of where I'm coming with it. I'm really trying to make dream matches, matches that I want to see if it were my roster, and it is. And I like that. I was like, okay, cool. We have a real fan that wants to see real matches. But the problem is now you can tell he's got his hands full. Because, again, he's not just the guy running AEW. He's got other ventures. He's clearly not here all the time. So the decision-making that he's doing is not – it's not great. It's showing on ratings and everything. So I agree with you. Like, sure, he can run this company, but I think he needs help. I think he needs someone to step in, take on some of that workload. I mean, you hear so many stories about Hal McMahon, even though he had his hands and everything, he still had people helping him with shit. So it seems like Tony Khan has, like, a group of buddies, and that's it.
And go back to Swerve, when he comes into the match, he gets attacked from behind. He gets cuffed.
Man, key moment.
You see, and I love how, about this match. Like, keep in mind, it starts out with one competitor from each side. You know,
yeah.
And it's like the NXT. It's like the Survivor Series, the War Games kind of thing. See, I love it with this match. Keep in mind, this match only two ways to end it: surrender or submission. No pinfalls.
Yeah.
So I thought that was actually pretty cool. Because I think, you know what? I like how they took pinfalls away, because if you take the pinfalls away, the excitement gets even better. So
I agree.
He gets attacked. He gets cuffed by Hangman Adam Page. Adam Page is kind of doing his thing. And then I forget which young buck, but he tells him, get in the ring or, you know, you're fired. So.
Yeah.
And then
I remember that.
And who comes out to help out Swerve Strickland?
Swerve, and that's when we get into the yep.
So I
that's why
Jeff Jarrett. If he didn't turn face yet, he's on his way. But that would mean, like, what does that mean about his group that he's a part of? I forget the name, but
yeah, I always forget their names too. It's
yeah, with his wife and Sanjay Dutt and yeah, but. He comes out and then, you know, he's got, you know, of course, Mr. Ass comes out as well. And then all of a sudden, Brandon Cutler comes out. Well, first of all, Brandon Cutler first tries to stop it. And then Mr. Ass comes out. And then he tells him, suck it. And then clocks him one. And then, Brandon Cutler right in the head with that guitar. I mean, vintage Jeff Jarrett. Guitar shot to the head.
Darby Allin was whooping ass too, dude. Like, I thought it was fucking cool that he was playing the role the way he was, man. Fucking dousing Jack Perry, and it's like, quit, give me my match, or I'm gonna fucking burn you, dude. Like, it was believable. I thought he was gonna do it for a second. I was like, they're really gonna do this shit. Jack
Perry, at first, Briscoe, you know, gave him all those Kendo shots, and then he tells him to quit, and Jack Perry spits at him. I mean, and then after Jack Perry gets threatened to be lit on fire, he does the same thing. He spits towards Darby Allin. So credit to Jack Perry. See, he just took things up to a whole new level with his dark heelish persona.
Oh yeah, and this is a match that I want to see desperately. Darby Allin and Jack Perry, dude. This is going to be a great match because they are two of the four pillars, if you will. We're missing one of them. Where the fuck did he go? But yeah, fucking, it's something that I want to see because they are homegrown. You can make the argument that they're not homegrown because they came from other places, but AEW is what made them big, in my opinion. So I want to see this match between these two. It's annoying that it's for a belt because, again, I'm not really, there's too many fucking belts, dude, on AEW. That's the problem. And WWE's starting to do that problem too.
But
I just, that's my thing, man. There's too many fucking titles. We got to figure this out.
But honestly, like, so after when Swerve gets free, you know, I got to tell you how Prince, you know, him and Prince Nana, I'm telling you, that's against another thing that's just so good. But I'm telling you, like, so at first, so Swerve gets free, but here's the deal. I think if I'm correct, they locked, they put a lock on the cage, so he couldn't get in. So what are they? Yeah. So Prince Nana comes out with a pair with wire cutters, and my, you see that's just so badass. But it doesn't even end there.
Yeah, dude.
It does not even end there. I mean, not just talk about the fact that Darby Allin gave Jack Perry a coffin drop through a table from the ceiling of the cage, but
climbed all the way. Yeah.
The staple guns that got involved.
Ouch! Yeah, that shit looked like it hurt. And then I thought it was pretty cool seeing
the Elite giving it to Swerve Strickland. Like they all staple him at the same time, and he's on the ground, but he gets up laughing.
Oh, and he starts. What does he end up doing? He staples somebody's fucking ear, dude. It's hilarious. Or somebody's mouth. I can't remember who he does it to, but it might have been Hangman.
And then Okada flips. Okada gives him the finger. He staples his
finger, dude.
You see, how about it's so awesome? Not only at an entertaining level, but just so awesome. Period. I mean, the heel flips you off, and you staple the dude's finger.
Yeah. Well, how about fucking Anthony Bowens, dude, getting thrown through four tables? Like, that was a pretty cool shot. And you could tell one end of that table fucking smacked him in the head really hard, dude. Because he goes out for a minute, like, fucking. You could tell that wasn't supposed to happen, but
I mean,
it was cool to see from that high.
Yeah, I mean,
oh, dude.
Wondering, was he just selling it, or was he legitimately, like, I mean, I don't know.
Makes you wonder, dude. And then
you have to remember, this is, you know, what wrestlers go through just to entertain a crowd. So, again, show those guys some respect.
What about that shot that, like, Briscoe takes? I can't remember who he puts on the table. Isn't it? I think, if I'm not mistaken, it's between the two rings. And he jumps off one of the ropes or whatever, puts him through the table. And I was just watching it, like, that's a dangerous spot, dude. They have barely any fucking leg room to move around. And those rings together, that's the hardest part of the ring, is the edge. And you see that clearly with the ropes being so close to each other that it wasn't a lot of room. And it's like, damn. The fact that they could still pull that off like that was just insane. Maybe I'm fucking it up. Maybe it wasn't a table. But I know he comes down right in that midsection, dude. And whoever he lands on, it wasn't good for them either. No, this match in its entirety is rewatchable for me because it's great. Like, they actually really work out the pacing. I love that it took a while for somebody to bleed. And it was fitting that it was Briscoe because Briscoe's, you know, he's a daredevil. That's what he's known for. This was just the perfect timing. But I loved it. I loved that they just paced this out. They made you wait. It wasn't just right away fucking violence. It escalated, dude. They did it perfectly, in my opinion.
It's like a movie. It's like it's a thriller. Like, the villains...
Right, the only...
The villains have the advantage. It looks like the villains are going to win. The last good guy gets attacked from behind. He gets trapped. And then he gets saved. And then he comes in. You know, just when they think that the last hope, they put, again, the staple guns, he comes out on top like he's unfazed, and then boom. I mean, when Adam Page went for the buckshot lariat on Swerve, but missed and hit Okada instead. I mean, the fact that, you know, when Jack
Perry... It was just fitting.
When Darby Allin threatened to light Jack Perry on fire, how one of the Young Bucks was cuffed, and, like, the whole entire Elite was taken out. Okada tries one more effort to try to make a stop, but he gets stopped. I think it was by a member of the Acclaimed, or it was probably Briscoe. Actually, no, yeah, it was definitely not Briscoe, but it's just the way it ended. Like, the entire Elite is taken out. Perry is trapped. You know, one of the executive vice presidents, the Young Bucks, is trapped. And then he's like, you know, and one guy
you can tell
Perry. He's like, fine, you have your match. And the fact that the heel says that this has gone far enough. Oh, boy. And he's like, uh-uh.
Well, you can tell that they put an effort into it.
Yeah, and Darby Allin says, oh, no, that's not it. Say you quit.
Oh, yeah, bro. Whoever sat down.
Jackson hesitates, but then Darby Allin does it, like, okay. And then he's like, all right, they quit.
Oh, dude. I have respect for whoever sat down and put this match together because it made sense. They wrote this out like a whole story. And it comes together. I hardly saw any botches in this match. I mean, it was done to perfection. I'm positive this was the match they focused on the most, obviously. Look at the amount of time it got. So
it was the main
honestly
event.
Dude, this to me was a 4.5 star match. It was fucking good, dude. It made AEW Dynamite amazing again, because AEW's been slacking, dude. They've been really boring lately. So this was cool to see, dude. I highly recommend it. Even if you're not going to watch the whole episode, at the very least, watch the Blood and Guts match. It's fucking worth it. It's probably the best one that we've had thus far, in my opinion.
I mean, you know, we talk about another spot when Nick, took that hit to the nuts from the ladder. Man.
Oh, yeah.
And not only that, I mean, you know, Darby Allin, I mean, the skateboard obviously was involved because the skateboard ended up being in the ring in the cage.
Yeah.
Man.
It was cool to see Darby doing Darby stuff again, because him being gone sucked. And, you know, I feel like they did him dirty in the last, what was that? What pay-per-view did we just have recently? I don't think it was Forbidden Door. It was when they did the Anarchy in the Arena again. And the Elite had Darby Allin, like, on a fucking zip line, basically, and they just raised him up and just started fucking him up. I was just like, that's a shitty way to go with him. But I'm sure we'll get him back, and sure enough, we did. So Darby Allin being attached to this was perfect. Swerve being attached was perfect. The Acclaimed and Briscoe was a weird decision, but it made sense after I saw it, dude. The chemistry was there. I actually would like to see a rematch between all these guys, but I'm pretty sure that's done.
Well, we'll see. I mean, the Elite, as far as I'm concerned, the Elite, they're not done yet, so we're going to see who's going to go to war with them next.
Well, yeah.
But I think we've covered everything. So as we close it out, why don't you tell them about your show, brother?
Yeah, so for those of you listening, if you want to watch a show that is probably going to offend you, but also has a little bit of fun and humor and doesn't focus too much on one topic, then you need to check out the Great Girth Podcast. We're on Rumble and YouTube. That's going to be at the Great Girth Podcast. You can also find us on Apple, Spotify, again, at the Great Girth Podcast. We're also on social media. You can find us on TikTok and Instagram. Again, it's just a show about nothing. One week we're talking about Trump. The next we're talking about the top 10 worst Hollywood films we've seen this year. Things change, but it really is kind of like Seinfeld. We just sit there talking about nothing. And we see where it goes from there. So if that's your cup of tea, definitely check out the Great Girth Podcast. Otherwise, thank you, brother, for having me again, man. I love doing this.
Well, thank you so much for coming on. And just so everybody knows, I'm a constant guest on the Great Girth Podcast. So be sure to check out the show, subscribe to it. And, of course, subscribe to Ringside Chaos. It's available wherever you get your podcast. Hit that subscribe button. Hit that notification bell. Because I want to be sure, Tony wants to be sure, that you won't miss out on any exciting upcoming content. So, ladies and gentlemen, let's do this. Tony, again, thank you so much, and I cannot wait to do it again. All right, y'all have a good one.
Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us. Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AFSCME People, AFSCMEPeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.